Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right there where you are, you can have your seat just for a moment. Get your Bible, get your notebook. Get something to make notes with. This morning we want to talk about supernatural power. The very fact that God is supernatural, the very fact that God has given us, ordinary human beings, His Spirit. That means we are filled, we are carriers of His supernatural power. In Matthew 14, in verse 22 to 28, it says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that His disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while He sent the people home. After sending them home, He went up into the hills by Himself to pray. Night fell where He was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from land. I want you to make note of this particular portion where it says that they were where? Far away from land. For a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw Him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," He said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to Him, "Lord, if it's really You, tell me to come. Tell me to come to You walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and he walked on the water toward Jesus. Last week we spoke about this portion of Scripture as well, and I highlighted to you that by walking on water, Jesus and now Peter were defying the natural laws of both gravity and buoyancy. Peter, when he walked on the water, he was also then, you can say, walking on the authority of God's Word. He was walking on the exousia, the authority of God's Word. This is why before he took that leap of faith, before he put his leg and then his foot over the side of the boat and walked on water, he first said, "Jesus, if this is really You, tell me to come." And last week I highlighted the reason for this particular question is that he was waiting for the Word of God to come. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Therefore, he needed the Word to first come, because this is something which no man has ever done before. In fact, the very fact that they saw someone walking on the water, they came to the natural realization that, hey, this had to be a ghost, because this was certainly not a natural phenomenon. And so they said, "It's a ghost." Jesus said, "Take courage, for I am here. This is Me. It's Me, Jesus. Well, if it's really You, tell Me to come." And Jesus said, "Yes, come." Two things I want you to take away from that statement. Number one, faith is always a response to the Word of God. It was only after Jesus said, "Yes, come," did Peter step out of that boat, the safety of that boat, and he began to walk on water. Faith is a response to that which God's Word has said. It is a response to that which is written. This is why Jesus said to Satan, "It is written." You see, it's not about standing on your own words. It's not about standing on your own assumptions. It's not standing on what you heard someone else had to say. It is standing on the Word of God. This is why we make this statement that Peter then was not walking on water. He was walking on the Word. He was walking in divine authority that had been delegated to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I say to you, church, in the nation of South Africa, we have received received the word from Jesus. We have received His word. He said, you will lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. We are supernatural, and we will not only walk on water, we will possess the gates of our enemy. We will plunder hell and populate heaven until He comes. And if you believe that with me, let your amen and shout be the loudest in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We are not on the retreat. We are not moving backwards. And we say to every single agent of Satan that you will not have the last say. You might be laughing right now. You will not laugh going forward in Jesus' name. For the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Once the dust and the smoke settles, we'll see who remains standing. And I tell you ahead of time that when the smoke and the dust and everything else settles after this pandemic, you will see that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ not only stands, but that we will thrive. For it will be like days of heaven on earth. We are the solution. We are the answer. And we are on the advance in the name of Jesus. One more time, if you believe that with me, shout amen in Jesus' name. Then also, as he stepped out of the boat, he made the transition. You can say he made the leap. He was leaving the safety of the boat, and he was now transitioning from the natural into the supernatural. You see, when you begin to step into the supernatural, you cannot try and play it safe. There's nothing about being safe when you are walking on water. Because that in itself, from a natural point of view, is foolishness. It's crazy. I've often wondered, can you imagine the reaction from those disciples in that situation? It says that they all feared. They cried out with fear. It's a ghost. Jesus says, it's me. If it's you, tell me to come, Peter was saying. And then imagine that moment when Peter is getting out of the, amidst the storm, amidst everything that's happening, 3 a.m. in the morning. There's some of you that's even saying, that's a devil's hour. 3 a.m. in the morning. Imagine the critics. Peter, what are you doing? You crazy? Remember, Peter was married. Yes, he was married. Remember, Jesus healed his mother-in-law. He was married. Hello. There's this notion that none of the disciples were married, that none of the disciples owned everything that or anything, that they had nothing. That's not true. You can imagine some of them might have said, you know what? Your wife made me promise that I would look after you. If something happens to you, your wife will kill you. But yet, he stepped out of the boat. And as he did so, faith was rising up ever so more on the inside of him. And as he took that first step, he was not walking on the water. He was walking on the word. He was walking in his divine position as a son of God, as a son in the kingdom of heaven. And he was walking in that divine authority of God's word. And that is our portion. Child of God, that is your portion. If only you could really come to the realization, or should I say revelation, that you are more spirit than you are body. We look at the limitations of the flesh, but it is time that we begin to have a revelation of the limitlessness of the spirit. Can you say amen? You can write that down and retweet it. But then also we find in John chapter 6, talking about this very same situation from a different perspective. The previous portion of scripture we read from Matthew 14. Now I want to turn your attention to John chapter 6, verse 18 to 21. It says in the gospel, according to John, soon a gale swept down upon them, and the sea grew very rough. Verse 19 said they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles. Remember, Matthew 14 says in verse 24 that they were far away from land. Now, what you need to understand is that the Sea of Galilee is approximately 13 miles by 8 miles large. So the furthest point from point to point, 13 miles, across 8 miles. The Bible says that they had traveled up until that point in time about 4 miles. Matthew 14 says that they were far away from land. So in other words, if you do the math, 13 miles minus 4, that's 9. Or if it was that they maybe just took the short route where it would have been 8 miles across, that means that still they would have been 4 miles away. They were about halfway there. But maybe they were somewhere in the middle between 9 miles and 4 miles. Let's call it 7 miles. 7 miles away. Far away from land. When suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water toward the boat, they were terrified. But he called out to them, "Don't be afraid, I am here." Then they were eager, willing to let him in the boat. And then it says, and immediately they arrived at their destination. Immediately. They had traveled anything from 4 to 9 miles. Let's call it the average 7 miles. Immediately, when Jesus had entered into that boat, supernaturally, they had been able to move immediately 7 miles because Jesus had entered the boat. Theologians have argued about the scripture, but there's only one conclusion. It very clearly says across the different gospels, they were far away from land. John chapter 6 says they were about 4 miles in. And then both of them say that immediately they arrived at their destination. In the first account of Peter walking on water, he had defied the natural laws of space and matter. Whereas now, Jesus had entered the boat and now they had defied the law of time. You see, time, space, and matter, it's a scientific continuum. You cannot have the one without the other. And yet we find this continuum from a scientific point of view right there in the very first verse of the Bible. You don't even have to look far to find it. Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning, that's time. God created the heavens, that's space, and the earth, that's matter. God created. It didn't happen by chance, not by means of evolution, or not by means of any other scientific theory. But in the beginning, God created. Not with the assistance of evolutionary processes. But God, who is absolutely God, who does not need help from natural laws. He is the one who created it. He is the one who instilled those laws. He is the one who put the sun and the moon and the stars and the earth in its place. Think about this. If the earth was just a little bit closer to the sun, we would burn up. If we were just a little bit further away from the sun, we would freeze. If you look at this from a scientific point of view, there's a particular model that they use and it's called the habitable zone. It's rarely found, rarely, out of the trillions and trillions and trillions of stars, with some planets circling these stars. Even finding a planet that exists in what is referred to as a habitable zone is few and far between. Yet we are smack in the middle of that habitable zone. The conditions are perfect for life. How it is that you can look upon everything that we behold, even with the natural eye, and come to the conclusion that there is no God is foolishness. For the Bible says that the fool says there is no God. unusual and extraordinary miracles was at the order of the day back in the book, back in the day when the book of Acts was written. This morning I'm highlighting many of the situations that Peter found himself in. And again, I want to read this to you from Acts 5 verse 15 in the Passion Translation. It says, in fact, when people knew that Peter was going to walk by, they carried the sick out to the streets and they laid them down on cots and mats, knowing the incredible power emanating from him, that it would overshadow them and heal them. Just listen to these words again. Just listen to it. In fact, so this is a fact. When people knew that Peter was going to walk by, they carried the sick out to the streets and laid them down on cots and mats, knowing, in other words, they had faith, knowing this was going to be a certainty, knowing the incredible power emanating from him. You can highlight that in your Bible. Knowing the incredible power emanating from him. Do you have a revelation of the incredible power emanating from you? Have you got that revelation? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now God is able to do exceedingly abundantly and above all. Absolutely. But it says according to his power. His supernatural power at work within us. It is so sad to me that many Christians are seeking a power beyond, but fail to recognize the power that is already within. It is so sad how Christians call upon the authorities when we ourselves carry authority within. It is so sad that we look for the powerful among us in society, but we do not have a revelation of the power that is already within. In fact, it says that the people knew, the people understood, they recognized the incredible power emanating from Peter. So that those whom they would place on these cots and mats, it says that the incredible power emanating from him would overshadow them and heal them. Now, you've often heard me make this statement, and I know that Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. and many others make this statement, is that there is more power in my shadow than all of the powers of hell combined. However, I want you to understand this morning that the shadow, or shall I say, as it is written in the Greek, the overshadowing that takes place within this portion of Scripture and what is referred to does not actually refer to a natural shadow. In other words, when an object moves in front of the light that is coming from the sun, this is not talking about a natural shadow. Because we find when we read the word of the Lord, in the Gospels, it says that Mary was able to supernaturally conceive when the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. That is not speaking of a normal shadow where suddenly she just walked into the shadow and hey, she supernaturally conceived. No, no, no. It says that the Lord came as the Holy Spirit and overshadowed her, and as a result, she supernaturally conceived. This word in the Greek for overshadow is also the word that is used for the cloud that overshadowed Jesus on the Mount on Transfiguration. Remember that day that Jesus glowed with the supernatural presence and glory of God. It was emanating from Him because He was being overshadowed. And then in Psalm 91, how I love this. You all know where I'm going with this. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, it is in the presence of God once again where there is no sickness, where there is no disease, where there is no lack, where there is no poverty. There is no need. It's not about looking at this and looking at that, because as the rest of that psalm goes, though 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, that you will not be moved and that you will not be shaken. Because you know that no evil thing will come near your dwelling place. You're not afraid of the arrow that flies, or the pestilence that comes, or the calamity of the chaos, the death, or the destruction all around you. No. Why? Because you dwell, you abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And what happens when you're in the shadow of the Almighty? He overshadows you. When He overshadows you, you are in that position of empowerment. I want you to know that Jesus didn't just come to change your destination. He came to change your position. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, it says that I've died with Christ and I've been raised with Christ. And now I am seated together with Him. Another translation says, in Him, in heavenly places. You see, the Bible also says, continuing with Peter, 1 Peter 2 verse 9. In the Amplified, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a special people. Another translation says, a peculiar people. When you look at this, where it says when it uses this word, a chosen race, it actually, from the Greek, it speaks of you being a new kind of species altogether. You're not just human anymore. You're like a superhuman. Because as He is, so you are. You're not normal. You're not ordinary. You are most definitely not average. You see, you carry on the inside of you the supernatural power of God, which is the ability of heaven. You are powerful beyond measure. The Bible says that Samson was driven by the Holy Spirit, that no rope or shackle or chain could hold him. And when the Spirit came upon him, that he slew in single event, he slew 1,000 men with a donkey's jawbone. And so I prophesy over you that greater is He that is in you than the one who is in this world. That it is time for you to become a carrier of the supernatural. It is time to become a carrier of the supernatural power of God. And for you to become a blessing to your generation in Jesus' name. But then I want to share this with you in closing. And it's regarding the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You see, the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which we read about in Acts chapter 2. And the sign of the infilling was the ability to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says that he who prays in tongues edifies himself. And so I want to encourage you, child of God, to not neglect this gift. It's a gift to you, to the church. The ability to speak in a new heavenly language. Because the one who does, the Bible says, edifies himself. What does that word mean, to edify? It means to empower, to increase, and to expand. You can also say that then when you speak in tongues or pray in tongues, you access a new realm. You access the realm of the Spirit. And so I want to encourage you, if you've never ever received the baptism in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, how do you receive it? You simply ask. Ask and you shall receive. The Bible says, you have not, for you ask not. It's as simple as just saying, Lord Jesus, as I have given you my life, as I've received the free gift of salvation, I now ask you for this free gift of the baptism in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's all you do. And now what you say, what do I do next? Open your mouth. The Bible says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Begin to just speak. And what happens is that it's like a fountain that just erupts on the inside of you. For streams of living water will flow from you. Not only will power come on the inside, but they will also spring forth a life that you are then able to share with those around you. So open up your mouth, child of God, and just begin to speak in the Holy Ghost. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, right there where you are, open up your mouth. Just begin to thank him. Say, thank you for this new language. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the baptism with fire. Receive the fire of God in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that you will raise us up, lift us up. I pray right now, a fresh fire to fall upon you. That the fire of God set you ablaze. For you will burn with the fire of God. You will become a carrier of the fire of God. Wherever you go, fires of revival will be lit, says the Lord. And I hear the voice of the Lord say that as the disciples were in the boat, stranded in the middle of nowhere in that open sea, nowhere to go, stuck, making no progress. I hear the Lord say it might have felt like there was no progress being made. But the Lord is saying that immediately you will reach your destination. Immediately you will reach your destination. So have an expectation for a suddenly moment to come to your life, that of your family, that of your business and your ministry, in Jesus' name.